Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Stadium. Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 18th of September. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Lukas Podolski talks all things Arsenal and FC Cologne. We explore the letter O in this week's A to Z of Arsenal. Our Adrian Clarke is back for another dose of the chalkboard. We kick off with a double game week review with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
I'm pleased to say our Arsenal insider this week is none other than former midfielder David Hilliard. David, appreciate your time, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks, Russ. And you?
Yes, not too bad at all. Thank you very much indeed. Before we talk about the trip to Stamford Bridge on Sunday, you were at Thursday's game, Europa League against FC Cologne. What did you take out of the game itself?
Well, it wasn't a great start to the game. I think defensively there was a couple of mistakes early and that unsettled the side. But it was a great first half by Cologne. You know, the atmosphere was really intense with all the goings-on before the kickoff. And I really enjoyed the night. I thought it was some good changes made by the manager, which had big impact on the game.
Well, let's just remind ourselves of all the goals as they flowed in a very, very entertaining night at Emirates Stadium.
Now it's with Elneny, chips it through towards Walcott. Great run, controls, but he takes it too close to the byline, tries to chip it back. Kolasinac on the volley! Oh, I say! 1-1, an immediate impact from the substitute. Less than 4 minutes after the restart, and the Bosnian has done it here. Here is Iwobi looking for Alexis Sanchez on the left-hand side. It's not the best of balls to the Chilean, but he'll keep it in play. Mera's had to race across. It's still Alexis that has possession. Alexis on the edge of the area, wants to get the curler away. That's a sensational strike. Arsenal lead. Alexis Sanchez is very much back here. That is something special. Elneny and Nacho Monreal combine once again. Kolasinac hugging that touchline on the left on the halfway line, finds Alexis. Alexis tries to knock it back to a Kolasinac and Kandu. Racing forward, edge of the area, looks to find Wilshere, leaves it for Walcott. Inside the area, gets the shot away. Horn with a save. The follow-up here goes in. It is Hector Bellerin following up inside the box. And Arsenal lead by 3-1. And the Gunners have really turned it around in this second half.
OK, so Arsenal taking that 3-1 as we just heard, Dave. A few fringe players got their chance. Who impressed you?
Well, I mean, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, when he made that transition into the midfield second half, thought he looked really good. I thought Alex Sanchez, I think he was a little bit down at first, but came up with a great finish at the end. There was a lot of lively work up front. Impressed me. Nacho at the back, second half, I thought he really pulled the team together. And the whole second half performance, really, they really stepped out from the first.
And then, of course, that led with some good momentum into the weekend. I was at Stamford Bridge on Sunday to see the goal of straw, but one where I think few would argue that Arsenal were the better side.
Yeah, I think they showed a great resilience. And, you know, I didn't really mention Kolasinac in that first game against Cologne, but he impressed me at Cologne. Got his start at Chelsea, was very strong. And I think that set the tone for the whole game against Chelsea. There were some strong challenges, good resilience from the side. Made enough chances to win the game, I feel, as well. Really unsettled Chelsea. It's been difficult the last few seasons going there. And they showed a lot of character. I think, you know, we've got a lot of people on their side at the moment.
What I really liked, David, as well, was the intensity of Arsenal's performance, the ground they covered, but in a very targeted and measured manner. There seemed to be more of a structure and at times just more of an overall plan to how to beat a team of Chelsea or at least contain them enough to get the point in the end.
Yeah, definitely. I think there seems to be that system seems to be working. I think since the Bournemouth game, they've really, you know, got it together. It's been a decent run of games. The Chelsea game was going to be the difficult one. We've got Doncaster coming up and then West Brom. So there's a good run of games where we can maintain that system and keep working on it. But I was listening to Aaron Ramsey after the game saying the way they played slightly higher, it allowed them to recover into their defensive positions quicker. And that's where it all starts, in the recovery to your defensive position. Because if you don't concede goals, you can't lose games.
Well, let's hear a bit from Aaron Ramsey speaking post-match.
Yeah, I think we needed that against a top team to come here. You know, in recent years we've struggled, but we showed today what we're capable of doing. We're capable of competing against the best, and we showed solidarity. We showed that we can create chances against them. And on another day, we perhaps might nick that, but it's what we needed after Liverpool.
Aaron Ramsey there. And I guess the other key point as well, David, is this being the norm now for Arsenal, away from home, up against other teams in and around the likely top six. The Liverpool performance, you want to be the blip and this to be the kind of benchmark.
Yeah, well, I think they've definitely set the tone of what they need to do, how they need to approach these games. The manager's made some good changes, as I say, and it's worked in the side. I think the only disappointment for me, if any, was I think Lacazette was just a tiny bit off his game, but the manager was quite happy to bring him off and, you know, change it. And I think that shows that the team are adapting to those big games, like you say, and learning to sort of maybe have a slightly different game plan when you do go away to one of the top six sides.
And that positioning, I think, that you touched on already, and you would know, of course, having played in and around that position yourself, that Ramsey-Xhaka combination did seem a lot more sturdy and a lot more effective, I felt, this time around.
Yeah, I mean, Granit sat a little bit deeper and let Aaron go off and do his little turns and twists and try and open play up. And I think, you know, looking at his last couple of games, Aaron Ramsey's looking very confident in that role, and he's revelling in it a little bit. You know, he's enjoying it, which is good to see. And we just need a tiny bit more end product, but that will come. But like I say, I think the main thing is to start with the defensive side of things, the shape of the side, and the grit and the resilience. We saw some really heavy challenges going in, but not just that, the closing down had a good intensity and good structure about it, which sometimes we've had the intensity but not the structure. And at that level, you'll get punished. But we certainly showed that we can compete with one of the best midfields in the Premier League.
And finally, to get a point for the first time in six attempts and get a clean sheet for the first time in 12 attempts at Stamford Bridge, it's a big statement. And I'd like to just highlight Laurent Koscielny. I thought he was immense at the back. I thought he led brilliantly.
Yeah, it was very strong. I mean, we know that Morata's dangerous. You know, his aerial presence, and he showed he's got a lot of pace as well. He was Chelsea's quickest player on the day. Handled him really well, Kosh did, and so did Mustafi. I think, you know, it would have been easier for him to sort of come back in the side and have some mistakes in his game, but he kept it really tight. I think, you know, they play really well across the back, all together.
And as we let you go, mate, we're about to hear from Lukas Podolski as the next part of the show. Any favourite pod moments on field or off for you?
Well, I have seen a video of him. Seen a few funny videos. He's pretty good at those, but I think he'll be... he sticks out in my mind best for just coming off the bench and smashing some goals in. You know, I think everybody knows he had one of the hardest strikes ever. Too many to mention for me when he comes off the bench. I think he was the highest goal scorer from substitutes in the season, his last season. So, he's obviously a good striker of the ball.
Yeah, and the crowd rising as a result, as you say, to some stonking finishes. David Hilliard, really appreciate your time and thank you for once again being our Arsenal insider.
Thanks very much, bro.
Lukas Podolski is a serious cult hero for both FC Köln and for Arsenal. A former Germany international spoke to Arsenal media's Nick Brumsack ahead of his former teams playing each other last week.
Do you still get to watch a lot of Köln games and a lot of Arsenal games as well?
Yes, because, you know, always, you know, as a footballer, you know, of course, first you're playing on the pitch, but as well as the life off the pitch. And I have great memories as well, of course, in Cologne, because I'm from Köln, but as well in Arsenal, you know. From the first day, I feel well in the club, with the players, with the coach, with the staff, and with the fans, and they make a song for me, and always good atmosphere, always passion, and I'm still in love with the fans of Arsenal, and I'm a Gunner, and I'm looking forward to coming back one day, to visit the stadium, to visit the team, and to say hello to the fans, and because my heart is always there, like in Cologne or in Istanbul, where you always remember something when it's something good, and this station was good so far. So that's why I always, always a Gunner in my heart as well.
It always seemed as though you had a very special relationship with the fans, not only in Köln, but in London as well, with the Arsenal supporters. That was something that you always seemed to place a great emphasis on.
Yeah, because it's always important, as I say before. You're a footballer, you play for the 90 minutes, but as well, a club is as well, the fans are the club as well. The fans are been always there, Wenger, Podolski, or Özil, Mertesacker, they always be changed on some days, and new players will come, but the fans and the heart and the logo and everything will stay forever. So that's why, the fans are always something special, and the fans was special as well. The stadium, the logo, the Gunners, the Asian tour, what we did was great. And, I have a lot of memories, and this is always good when you finish your career and you have great 3 years in London with Arsenal. You have great memories in Istanbul or in Japan or in Munich or in Köln. So this is always important. And when you finish something, you have great memories on and as well off the pitch. And this is important always for me and the fans as well.
What are the standout memories from your time at Arsenal?
It's difficult to pick one because, I always get the question, what was your best goal? But it's difficult to say because, every moment is something special for a situation, my goal and at Anfield, for Arsenal, the derbies against Tottenham, and but as well when I came off the bench to the warm up in the Emirates and the fans stand up and singing my name, and this is always there are always memories for that as well. Not only after scoring a hat-trick and you are a hero, but as well the small things, like I say. You're standing up for the warm-up, Wenger sending you to warm-up, and the whole stadium standing up and shouting your name. So this is always something important. Or the picture with the fans in Tottenham, with the fans in the stands. This is, as well a great memory. And the Asia tour and, other things, other goals, and the Champions League goal, the volley, and there are a lot of things, but as well, of course, London, the city, the people who are working for Arsenal, the staff, always friendly, always helpful, and you just have to come there, take your boots, and playing soccer, and this was something great in the club, and that's why Arsenal is a big and a great club.
You mentioned that picture. I was actually going to ask you about it at White Hart Lane after we beat Tottenham there. Those derbies always seem to be especially big and especially important for you, and you really seem to embrace the culture of beating Tottenham.
Yeah, of course. You're playing football, but you're playing as well derbies, and derbies are always something special for me. I come from a generation who always fight on the pitch, Now the derby is becoming like a little bit too friendly for me. So when there's something important, a derby, for me it's always important. You have to fight on the pitch, you have to fight off the pitch. you have to get a yellow card, or you have to, you know, get the fans to motivate and everything. So that's why always derbies are always for me something special.
The A to Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit him.
O is for Ozil. Mesut signed for the Gunners on deadline day in 2013 for a then club record fee from Real Madrid, and he's lit up the Emirates ever since.
It's a lovely touch from Giroud, sets Ramsey away. Brzezinski in the middle. Ramsey's picked out. Oh, what a finish! And it's the first goal for Arsenal for their record signing. It's Arsenal 1, Napoli 0. It's going to be Mesut Ozil. Beautiful goal! Wonderful technique, and Arsenal have doubled the lead. Arsenal are rampant. Theo Walcott into the penalty area. Back to Mesut Ozil! 2-0 to Arsenal! This is superb stuff, and they've doubled the lead.
O is also for another left-footed magician, Marc Overmars. Marc was instrumental in the Gunners' double-winning season of 1998, scoring a vital goal in the FA Cup final, the day the title was won as well against Everton, and of course in the title decider against Manchester United.
Petit's pass, and it's over.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He's passed Pistone! And Arsenal have taken the lead! Well, one Dutchman may be missing, but the other one is there. And already he's left his mark on the 1998 FA Cup final, Marc Overmars. And Overmars is still going forward. It's Marc Overmars, and another one! Well, no wonder they hold up the trophy. It must be going Arsenal's way now, the crowd. Watching brief for Ian Wright. That's a mistake by Ball, and Elka got his head to it, and Overmars can roar past Watson here. Wonderful, wonderful goal for Arsenal. Oh, it's Overmars. He's done it this time. Arsenal have scored a Premiership goal at Old Trafford, and it could well be a winning goal in this match and a double over United this season.
That final goal was scored at another O, Old Trafford. The Gunners would secure another double there in 2002, courtesy of Sylvain Viltord.
Oh, a mistake by Silvestre. And here's Viltord. And Ljungberg, he's in again. Pushed out by Bartes. Viltord! Arsenal have scored yet again in the Premiership, and it might just be the most important goal of the lot. Silva will talk. Yes, says Arsene Wenger.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Adrian Clark joins me at the Chalkboard. Clarkie, wearing your own clothes.
Yes, yes, yes. You lent me some clothes last week, didn't you? You bailed me out because I came down to London and forgot my wardrobe, basically. I had lots and lots of people come up to me in the streets saying how well I looked. So it was remarkable. It was quite a pleasant surprise.
I saw you at Craven Cottage. You were both covering Fulham Hull. You were there basically in your underpants saying, I've forgotten all my clothes, help me. What did I do? Went home. We're both 5'10", both about 12 stone. Yeah. Then you're full pair of changes of wardrobe to get you through.
But not underpants, no, I have to state.
Stayed with those. And you aren't getting with them back today, I believe, as well.
I've got them with me if you need.
Clark, it was a pleasure to help you out.
Yeah, thank
Good
you very much.
You back clad in your own attire. And first of all, question at the Chalkboard, what next for Theo Walcott?
Oh, good question. Well, he needs to train well, I think, first and foremost, because it's difficult for him. With a new formation, there is no obvious place for a natural winger. I've been in his situation, by the way. I was a natural winger, and Arsenal at one point during my time here went to wing-backs. I wasn't a wing-back, yet I wasn't really seen as a striker either. And in those days, we didn't have the guys floating behind the front. So I know where he's coming from at the moment. What he needs to do is train hard. He needs to catch the manager's eye and take the opportunities that he does get. And I'd imagine he'll get a chance against Doncaster in the Carabao Cup and in the Europa League. And look, if he plays really well in those games, if he scores goals, then he's got a chance. And I would say he's got best chance of playing up front. If anything were to happen to Lacazette or Giroud, maybe he'll get his opportunity as a striker. Failing that, maybe he needs to turn himself into a wing-back. I just don't see him doing that job. So I think a striker is his best chance of getting a game long-term. But he's just got to be professional, keep his head and not get too dispirited. Because if he loses confidence by being out of the side, then he's going to find himself in a vicious circle. And unfortunately, he won't get those opportunities I'm talking about.
And we think about, obviously, the Europa League to keep returning, the Carabao Cup, as you've said this midweek. Yeah. For he and for quite a few other players, these opportunities hopefully will keep coming, and particularly when you see someone like Danny Welbeck coming off injured in the game at the weekend.
You always get injuries, and we've seen a potential problem for Danny. We don't know the extent of that yet. So, look, throughout the course of a season, everybody gets a chance. And look, Theo Walcott, OK, he's not featured much so far this season since it all began. He scores goals. He scored a lot of goals last year. He can make things happen. It's just at the moment, he's becoming a forgotten man. It's down to him to ensure we don't forget him. And he's got the opportunity, I would imagine, in the cup competitions to remind us and the manager what a destructive player he can be.
OK, so West Bromwich Albion next up in the Premier League. Looking forward to commentating alongside Stephen Hughes for us for that one. That's going to be a real interesting challenge. I'll never forget last Christmas. Was it Boxing Day with Giroud's header right at the death, and you and I were on together?
You got quite excited, didn't you, Russ?
Oh, it was vital. Vital, that goal, wasn't it? That's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of this fixture.
Yeah, you burst my eardrums that night, I tell you. It's a tough fixture. It's a tricky one because they're just awkward to play against, aren't they, West Bromwich Albion? We know what they're about. They're not pretty on the eye. But they can, if you're not at it, they can make life extremely difficult. And Arsenal were made to wait extremely late for that winning goal. So, we've got to be on our game for this one.
And the Baggies started the season very well. They were second in the early table for a while, weren't they? They've tailed off a tiny bit, but they're still getting some decent, solid results.
They're not going to score a load of goals. I think that much is obvious. I like Rodriguez. I think up front he gives them something different. They haven't had in recent years. Phillips is a really good creator down the right-hand side, very powerful winger. So they've got good players. Krikoviak, who's just come in at central midfield.
He's a nice little pickup, wasn't he?
Yeah, they've got decent talent, but Tony Pulis is not an attacking coach. When he sends his team out, it's primarily with a clean sheets mentality, and that's what they're about. And he's got a very solid defence. He's got three centre-halves in there. He's got Gareth Barry in front of the back four. I think that was a really astute signing. So, and of course, I think he'll equal, won't he, Ryan Giggs? Mm. No, I think he will break Ryan Giggs' record against Arsenal if he features. So, but history might be made.
And Kieran Gibbs, potentially up against his old club. But an opportunity at, what, 27 to just have that next stage of his career go in a maybe slightly more kind of targeted way, shall we say.
He needed it. He just needed it. He's been a really good player for Arsenal, very reliable down the years. I'll never forget his contribution in that 2014 Cup final. Arsenal wouldn't have won the Cup without his sterling work that day at Wembley. And, yeah, we wish him well. I just felt that he'd gone a bit stale here. He needed a fresh challenge. And hopefully he'll get plenty of opportunities for West Bromwich Albion. I'd imagine he will give them a whole new dimension. They've needed a left-back for a long time, West Bromwich Albion. They've had piecemeal players plonked in there for a while now. He's a natural, and I think he'll fit in just fine.
Love that analogy. Piecemeal players plonked in. That's really well described. If you were Arsenal, we'll come on to the team talk, of course, in a second, but on a wider sphere, if you're going to try and break down a team that is that physical, that defensively minded as West Brom, do you just keep plugging away a la last season, or is there more to it?
You've got to be nimble, I think. You've got to be sharp with your interplay. I was really impressed with the passing, the quick 1-2s and the triangles against Chelsea. I thought they were outstanding at times. Chelsea didn't live with them. West Brom won't either. You've got Gareth Barry, he's not got great legs. I think you're looking at a few of the players and there are certain weaknesses. Actually, I was going to say you don't go too aerial against West Bromwich Albion, and I stand by that. But what happened last year was that plan A didn't work, and we did go aerial, and that's when Olivier Giroud came on and made the difference. So you've always got to have two or three game plans up your sleeve if the first one doesn't work.
Okay, then. So what is, if you are Arsene Wenger, preparing for the game, what is your 5-second team talk pre-West Brom?
Speed. Speed, speed. Fast start, fast movement, fast passing, and kick the ball out for throw-ins, not corners.
Clarkie, loving your work. High time we went toe-to-toe in another part of the show, which is the Brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
The Arsenal Weekly podcast editor Liam Roberts joins us in the studio, talking of attire, Liam, looking snazzy.
Yeah, so who's going to be wearing what next week? We're going to have a mass change of clothes.
I'll try Clarkie's clothes next week. Yeah, let's do it.
Is that going to be the forfeit? Is that it?
Well, talking of Butler for the day, of course, is the Brain of Arsenal potential forfeit. We've almost had a little bit of that.
I know, she didn't give me that shirt. That shirt would have been much, much better, I've got to say. But anyway.
Well, top shirt. I kept that for myself for the show.
Audio podcast. Come on, guys. Audio podcast. OK, so last week, Adrian, you beat Russ with John Lukic. John Lukic beat Dennis Bergkamp. So,
yeah.
So, Russ, you came up with a new topic, the Brain
of
Arsenal.
I did, which is the Emirates as a stadium. So, Emirates Stadium, building history up until it started.
Nice and vague, I like it, nice and vague. So, so your choice this week, do you want to go first or second?
I'll get it out of the way, let's go first.
Okay, so four questions on Emirates Stadium.
Good luck, Russ.
Thank you.
Starting now, can you name the two bridges that pass over the Northern City Railway line that connect Drayton Park to the stadium?
One of them's Danny Fisman.
Correct.
Oh! The one I don't ever use, because that's not the way I come. Oh! Well, I was literally reading this on the tube on the way in, where I, again, didn't come across the bridge. I can't remember.
It's the Ken Fryer Bridge. Should I give half a point for that?
No.
OK. It's brutal, brutal.
Aye, aye, aye.
OK, question two. Which royal officially opened the stadium?
It was Prince Philip, because the Queen had a back injury.
Outrageous.
You're not going to make up the point.
That's what I try.
Okay, what is the official capacity of the stadium?
60,432.
Correct. And what date was the stadium officially opened?
Now, I think officially opened was the Dennis Bergkamp testimonial against Ajax, and that was the 22nd of July 2006.
Correct.
Oh, he's good, isn't he?
Three out of four.
Three and a half to most people.
I think the question was name the two bridges.
Excellent effort, Russ. Well played.
Not going to lie to you, I'm rooting for Russ this week because it is very difficult to get more questions than John Lukic. So,
the man with the hardest handshake in the history of sport.
It's not one of the questions, man. Here we go. John Lukic, when was John born?
What? You want the date of birth?
Yeah.
I did look at it. I think it's December.
What are you complaining about?
December 1960.
Yep.
I think it's my favourite now. 11, my favourite number.
Correct. Oh. Okay, question two. How many consecutive seasons was John an ever-present at Arsenal?
Oh. I know that he had three purple patch seasons. I think it was 87, 88 and 89. I'm going to go for three.
Correct. Oof. Okay, what does John share in common with the following players?
Yeah.
Peter Shilton, Steven Grzovic and Stanley Matthews.
I know it. Sorry, Russ. He, unbelievably, actually, what an achievement this is. He played across four different decades. He played in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s and the noughties. Tremendous achievement.
Correct, yeah.
It was naughty.
Wow. Okay, and for the win, how many clean sheets did John keep in the 1988-89 league winning campaign?
Oh, yeah. Well, this will be pure guesswork. I will go for... unlucky for some, 13.
It was 23.
23?
23 clean sheets.
23 clean sheets. That's incredible.
Okay.
So with my half point...
I was shrewd, wasn't I?
It's a score draw. So it's one of the second draw of the season.
It's a big draw for me, though. Big draw,
yeah. So what we're going to do this week, do we want to change...
I'd like to stay personally because there's a huge amount we've not even gone into for our listeners about Emirates Stadium.
Yeah. So, Russell, would you like to change? Please change.
Well, just purely on the basis that you asked me to change, I'm going to refuse.
Okay. Oh, more work for me. Okay.
The horns relock. Yeah. Lukage v Emirates. I love
just,
it.
All you've got to remember is I've got to go really deep on the next one.
Yeah,
the
that is true. That is
no
true.
One's ever won trying to do three straight weeks on a topic.
Well, first time for locked in now. Score draw next week. The rematch, Emirates Stadium versus John Lukic.
Thank you very much, Liam. Clarkie, when can we see and or hear you again?
I'm in a short break, actually. I will be back to do the breakdown after the West Brom game. So I imagine that I'll be up on Tuesday evening.
And we'll catch you a week today, of course, on the show.
The final word.
The final word this week belongs to an invincible. On this day, in 1998, Freddie Ljungberg made his debut for the Gunners and did this.
Over Mars again. Oh, Hughes. I don't know whether he's looking for Ljungberg, but he's found it. What a way to start an Arsenal career. Frederik Ljungberg on as a substitute for his debut in the English game, and he scores against Manchester United.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Lucas Podolski, to David Hillier, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and find us on Acast these days. Remember, get your questions into Clarkie for the chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Tuesday, the 26th of September, due to that Monday night clash against West Brom. We bring you all the reaction from that game. Until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.